our trail network already, finally putting the signs up. And we're really excited for the opening weekend this weekend. We're going to have the camp open from now until Columbus Day weekend. And our website is wildhudsonvalley.com. And we have a section on there all about the Eco Camp. And with the weekend schedule, all the different amenities, as well as some of our favorite area attractions for people to, for guests to check out when they're staying. So we're really excited for that, and we're trying to spread the word of our opening.
And do you sell plants? And like, if locals live here and don't want to attend a camp, but they like to get some ginseng or something, do you guys do that?
Yeah, actually, we didn't mention this. We have a small CSA. We call them Wild Harvest Boxes. It's a monthly delivery of 6 to 8 different primarily foraged or forest-farmed ingredients. We just had our June delivery, which contained cattail shoots, reishi mushrooms, and a lot of the plants that we just talked about. So that's a monthly CSA for the months of April to November. So that's the primary way that we distribute the produce that we either wild harvest or grow ourselves, because we also grow a lot of rare varieties of corn, beans, and squash. So that from seeds that Justin's worked hard to, well, will you explain that?
Well, yeah, in trying to, you know, in our efforts to understand what life was like here in the past, we've worked hard to try to find the oldest varieties of domesticated plants that were grown here 400 years ago, or at least representative of what was grown here by native people. So this entire CSA, the Wild Harvest Box that Anna described, to go along with our mission of education, it really, the purpose, and I hope that, you know, this is true for our customers, is not so much to, you know, get novel or cool ingredients or for cooking, but to learn about these plants and how they're actually edible and delicious or healthy, but also what role they've played historically. And we include an entire write-up with every box that goes into every ingredient we're including, that talks about the plant's place in the ecosystem, how it's traditionally used, how you can use it today, and how you can grow it or steward it yourself in the wild.
And I'm seeing on your website, you can pick up one of your CSA boxes at Kitty's Market and in Hudson, or Left Bank Ciders in Catskill, so you don't have to necessarily drive out to Caro.
Exactly. Yep. So our Eco Camp is a pickup location, but we're so happy to be collaborating with Left Bank Ciders and Kitties on this. We do also sell mushrooms to Kitties for their market. So that's another place that people can pick up our produce, is at Kitties Market. It's across the street from the train station in Hudson. And they just opened a restaurant. It's really awesome. So I'm going to plug that too, because we really, really love working with them.
And you mentioned ginseng, but we also actually do sell ginseng seed in season. We stratify it ourselves and sell it in the fall, along with select starts sometimes, but that's not anything that we can promise. We eat herbal tea blends, tinctures, salves. Those are also things that they're kind of side, you know, things that we sell locally and can be found in some stores.
All right. I see we've only got about 2.5 minutes left before the news comes up. So we did have a lot to talk about. Is there anything we forgot to mention?
I think we've about covered it.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, we have a lot of public programming coming up pretty much every weekend throughout this entire summer. We have either a guided nature walk or a workshop or a moonlight walk on the farm, depending on when the full moon is.
Oh, and Thursday nights, too.
And
you can't
on
forget
Thursday nights,
Hudson River Maritime Museum, we've been doing boat tours since last year. So we do an evening tour on the Solaris, a solar-powered boat, out of Kingston, out into the Hudson River, as the sun is setting, and it's completely silent because it's solar powered. And that's a really magical tour where we basically, it's a question and answer session full of folklore and stories where we'll talk about what life was like 500 years ago on the Hudson River. So.
And by the time we're coming back to the dock at the end of the night, it's completely dark out.
It's really
beautiful. So that's most Thursday nights throughout the summer in Kingston. And I think we've got, that's it.
That
so you can check out our events calendar at wildhudsonvalley.com. Mm-hmm. And thanks for having us.
Boat ride sounds pretty magical.
It's really great.
It's so fun.
All right. So yes, go to wildhudsonvalley.com for more information. We've been talking to Anna Plattner and Justin Wexler from Wild Hudson Valley and Caro. Thank you guys for being here today. This was great to hear all this stuff.
Thank you.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Tune in Monday, June 27th to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 9 a.m. You're from Bob Cohen from the group Citizen Action, explaining how citizens can comment on New York's proposed climate law. 10 a.m. hop on the Afrosonic Taxi, tracks this week from Herencia de Tumbuki, Burkina Aza, and Katie Diarra, among others. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites live from the WGXC Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church. He'll feature the music of Milton Nascimento on until noon, when it's time for the Deep Three show after the local news, with music from Laurie Anderson, Meredith Monk, and Sarah Manning, among others. 3 p.m., Jerome Cooper is the featured artist on Roulette Intermedium's Tracking the Odds show. At 7 p.m., it's time for Law and Disorder. And at 8 p.m., Rob Van Irv hosts the Everything All the Time music show on 90.7 WGXC.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar, and WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
L'aventure, quand le temps va et vient, on ne Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia. I'm 11, and I'm from Hudson.
And I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library. I'm from Hudson, too. And we're here every week.
Talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish
things.
Have you ever tried to tell a story where you alternate words?
What do you mean by that?
Like, I would say a word, then you would say a word, and we tell a story.
Oh,
have you ever tried that?
I've never tried it with words. I've only tried it with sentences.
Once.
Upon.
A.
Void.
There.
Was.
A.
Hamster.
Named.
iPod.
And.
He
really
loved
carrots.
So
he
ventured
to
the
farmer's
market,
but
he
couldn't
fart.
What? He couldn't fart? Because...
Sorry, just a second. He
was
not
doing
squat.
The
hamster
bought
a
gigantic
farmer
who
hated
carrots.
iPod
was
devastated. Sorry.
The end. Good story.
The end? That fast?
That was one word. The end. I made it one word.
That was not one word. You have to say the.
I think the listeners out there can continue, if they can grab a friend nearby and they can continue the story of iPod the hamster who loves carrots and the farmer that he bought at the farmer's market who hates carrots.
True. That's a better idea.
Maybe in the sequel they'll do some more squats. Anyways. Speaking of stories, do you have a story to tell today or to share?
Yes, I do. So, this is a book called Wishing Upon the Same Stars by Jaquetta Namar Feldman. And this is an amazing book. My neighbor recommended it to me. It's her very favorite novel. And it's such a great book. It's really moving. So basically the story is around this girl named Yasmin, who, I think that I'm saying her name right. Yeah, Yasmin, who is American, but her family is Arab. Her parents are Arab. It's Arab, not Arab. Arab. Sorry. So her parents are Arab, and... So she moves from Detroit, which has a large Arab population, to San Antonio, Texas, which, as you can imagine, does not. And she feels very out of place. And for the first time ever, she feels like she's not American enough. And she just really wants to fit in. And she's sort of... You sort of go with her through her school problems, with Mean Girls, and it's just a really good book. When 12-year-old Yasmin Curry, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. It's K-H-O-U-R-Y. K-H-O-U-R-Y. Corey? I don't know. Moves in with her family to San Antonio. All she wants to do is fit in, but her classmates in Texas are nothing like her friends in the predominantly Arab neighborhood back in Detroit where she grew up. Almost immediately, Yasmin feels like the odd girl out, and as she faces middle school mean girls and navigates making new friends, she feels more alone than ever before. Then Yasmin meets her neighbor, Ayelet Cohen, a first-generation Israeli-American. As the two girls grow closer, Yasmin is grateful to know that someone who understands what it feels like when your parents' idea of home is half a world away. But when Yasmin's grandmother moves in after her home in Jerusalem is destroyed, Yasmin and Ayelet must grapple with how much closer the events of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict are than they realize. As Yasmin begins to develop her own understanding of home, heritage, and most importantly, herself, can the two girls learn there's more that brings them together than might tear them apart, and that peace begins with them. So that's Wishing on the Same Stars by Jaquetta Namar Feldman. So this is a middle grade graphic novel, a middle grade novel that young adults could enjoy too.
How did you come to read this book?
So my neighbor recommended it to me, and this is actually her copy. So, oh, and this one is the Advanced Reader's Edition, I think.
What was the title again?
Wishing Upon the Same Stars. It's so good. I'd highly recommend it.
I just want to look up if it's out yet. Yes. It did come out in February. So for those out there listening, they should be able to get a copy of it.
It's so good.
Sounds very good. It has a beautiful cover too. Our radio listeners can't see it, but it's very pretty.
It's like flowers and lilacs in a field with Yasmin and Ayelet holding hands.
Yeah, and it looks like there's maybe lightning bugs or something. I don't know. It looks very shimmery. It's very pretty. Oh, sounds very good. Thanks for sharing that. I could share a book that I read recently. I think it was a couple weeks ago. I read a book called Felix Ever After by Kason Callender. It's a book for teens, and it is about a transgender teen named Felix Love, who has never been in love, even though their last name is Love, and he desperately wants to, but he just hasn't quite made the right connection. And so he's dealing with his identity and sort of thinking about himself as an individual at this, you know, in the teenage years, a big time of change and growth. And then one day he starts getting these anonymous messages that are transphobic that are sent to them that are very hurtful. And then at the school, there's like this gallery section, and somebody posts all these pictures of them from before they transitioned, and including their what's called a dead name, the name that they have left behind when they transitioned. And that is also very hurtful. And they are convinced it is this one person that they've always had a little bit of a thing with where they don't get along. And so Felix starts basically like catfishing the person that they think it is, trying to figure out if it is them, like trying to basically bust them for having done this thing. But along the way, they end up finding that they actually kind of like this person that they've always had this conflict with, and that they they see a side of them that they really like, but then it's like complicated because they're catfishing them, which is also not a great thing to do. So it's just a very interesting book. I like Case and Callender's writing a lot and character development in the books that I've read by them, including this one. And yeah, so it's just a very interesting story. It had been on my to-read list for a long time, and I finally got to it this month. But here, I can read the description of that in case I missed anything, since it's been a couple weeks. It says, from Stonewall and Lambda Award-winning author Case and Callender comes a revelatory YA novel about a transgender teen grappling with identity and self-discovery while falling in love for the first time. Felix Love has never been in love, and yes, he's painfully aware of the irony. He desperately wants to know what it's like and why it seems so easy for everyone but him to find someone. What's worse is that even though he is proud of his identity, Felix also secretly fears that he's one marginalization too many, Black, queer, and transgender, to ever get his own happily ever after. When an anonymous student begins sending him transphobic messages after publicly posting Felix's dead name alongside images of him before he transitioned, Felix comes up with a plan for revenge. What he didn't count on, his catfish scenario landing him in a quasi-love triangle. But as he navigates his complicated feelings, Felix begins a journey of questioning and self-discovery that helps redefine his most important relationship, how he feels about himself. Felix Ever After is an honest and layered story about identity, falling in love, and recognizing the love you deserve.
That sounds amazing.
It was very good. I did like it quite a bit.
I'd love to.
It's interesting. Yeah, I think it is geared more for teens than for tweens.
Oh, I know.
But Case and Callender has written a number of books that are meant for tweens that are very good, and actually that I possibly even like more. I really liked King and the Dragonflies, which is a middle grade novel by them. So I would definitely suggest that one.
What's the book called again?
That was Felix Ever After. But yeah, I would suggest King and the Dragonflies for tween readers. That was one of my favorite books that I read back in 2020. Very memorable. And then, so that was a teen book that I've read. I've also been reading, or sort of rereading, some middle grade books with my niece and my mom. We read them over Zoom together. And my mom and my niece do it every day. And then if I can't meet up for someday, like if I'm at work when they're connecting on Zoom, then I just catch up before the next time we read together. So we recently read Tale of Despero by Kate DiCamillo, which I read many years ago and loved. Have you ever read that one, Georgia?
No, but Tale of Despero. Kate DiCamillo is.
Yeah.
What else has she written? I've probably read something by her.
She did Because of Winn Dixie and the something of Edward Tulane. I forget what the whole title is. The Magician's Elephant, Tiger Rising. But Tale of Despero is really good. She won the Newbery for it. And it was later made into a movie. And it is sort of like a fairy tale feeling to it. And it follows four main characters. So there's Despero, who's a mouse, who's born with especially big ears, like shockingly big ears. And then there's Roscuro the rat. And then there's a girl named Migory So, or Sow. Every time I said her name out loud, I was like, is it So? Is it Sow? I think it's Migory Sow, who is a girl that lives sort of in the kingdom. She's been orphaned and she dreams of being a princess someday after she sees like the royal family go by. And the princess waves to her and she decides someday she wants to be like beautiful and ride a horse and like live in a castle. So that's her big dream. And then there's the princess P, who is the princess in the castle, and they all connect along the way. You can read the description for this one too. A brave mouse, a covetous rat, a wishful serving girl, and a princess named P come together in Kate DiCamillo's Newbery Medal winning tale. Welcome to the story of Despero Tilling, a mouse who is in love with music, stories, and a princess named P. It is also the story of a rat called Roscuro who lives in the darkness and covets a world filled with light. And it is the story of Migory Sow, a slow-witted serving girl who harbors a simple, impossible wish. These three characters are about to embark on a journey that will lead them down into a horrible dungeon, up into a glittering castle, and ultimately into each other's lives. What happens then? As Kate DiCamillo would say, reader, it is your destiny to find out.
That sounds awesome.
And so it's really good. I like how there's like Despero's the mouse, and he's a little bit different of a mouse. Like, instead of wanting to eat the books, he wants to read the books. And he reads a story that's about a knight who, like, rescues a princess. And so he gets, like, really brave and has this dream of falling in love with the princess and rescuing her. And is willing to go up into sort of different spaces that the other mice would shy away from, because mice aren't supposed to go up and be seen. And then Roscuro is a rat, and he's supposed to stay in the dark dungeon. But he is attracted to the light and wants to be in the light. But his heart gets broken early in the story, and so kind of leads him down a darker path. It's a very good story, and the writing is just so good. Kate DiCamillo is an excellent author. And then the one that we're currently reading, which I've read more recently, Tale of Despero, I'd read a long time ago, so it was more of a fresh read, even though I had read it before. But we're reading Vinicula now, which is really fun. I'm not sure if you've read that one. It's by James Howe, and it's an older book. It was out when I was a kid, so I think it was, I don't know when it was first released, but it is about a household. It's told from the perspective of the dog that lives in the house, and there's also the cat, Chester, and then there's Vinicula, who is a bunny that they find in a movie theater while watching the movie Dracula, and they bring it home. And Chester, the cat, is convinced that the bunny is a vampire. And the writing is just really clever. Like, the cat reads like a cat, the dog reads like a dog. And it's just really fun and funny. So I'm enjoying reading that again. Like, there's a whole scene where the dog is trying, like, the cat wants the dog to come sit on the chair with him. And the dog's like kind of a bigger dog and is trying to figure out how to do it. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just flop onto the chair. So it just like kind of flops up. And meanwhile, the cat, you know, falls off. And then the cat has to get back on the chair and like turns around and winds around and like takes its time finding the perfect spot. And it's just like that kind of thing where like that's what happens with cats and dogs. I don't know. It's great. So that's Vinicula. Very good. The copy we have at the library is like an anniversary edition, and it's a bright red and soft cover. And then the like eyes and the fangs of the rabbit are sparkly or shiny. They're stickers. So it's like a very fun cover.
So the rat is a vampire.
Do you know what? We haven't gotten to the part yet in the book where that's confirmed. And I honestly can't remember if it's ever really confirmed.
Wait, is it a rat or a bunny?
Oh, did I say a rat? I think I said a rabbit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's the title again?
Vinicula.
Oh, that makes sense, because it's like Dracula with...
And Bunny. Bunny. Yeah. Vinicula. And I've never read the other books in the series, because there's the Halliday Inn, and then there's The Celery Stalks at Midnight, which I think is the best name of a book ever. But I don't think I've ever read them, so I'll need to do that at some point.
I forgot to tell you, I read Bake Sale.
Oh, yeah?
It was so good.
So good. That's the Sarah Varon comic?
Mm-hmm.
With Cupcake and Eggplant?
Yeah, that one was good.
Very good. And isn't it Turkish Delight is the celebrity chef?
And just grabs a blueberry from his fridge.
yeah, that's a really cute comic. I like it.
It's nice because, like, all ages could enjoy it, I think.
Yeah, it's sort of cutesy in a way that I think would appeal for younger readers, but it also deals with like friendship and I don't know, even older readers like cute little things sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, before we go for the day, I want to let our listeners know that summer reading programs are kicking off soon. I know there's all different libraries in the area that are doing summer reading programs, and ours is one of them.